Hello, everyone, and welcome to a very special spotlight here from the Epic Film Guys podcast. I am Nick, and for the fourth time, at least as of recording day, I am thrilled, absolutely thrilled to welcome our friend, our brother, down in Perth, from the Countdown Movie and TV Reviews, Paul. Welcome back to the Epic Film Guys, my friend. How the hell are you?
It's a pleasure to be here yet again. Thank you so much for the invite to get my 2 cents in for this live stream for A Cure. Obviously, it'll be a bit more than that when I actually donate, but weekend, whether or not this screens or it airs during that time, I realise may not be the case, but that's when we're recording and why we're recording it, and I'm so pleased I could be here to help you out just a little bit for such an important cause.
Yeah, which I do really, really appreciate. Paul's been a big part of the event. We did the Guess Paul's Rating Game last year during the event, which was so much fun. And I think we got to shit on like Dirty Dancing and stuff, which was really, really fun.
Oh,
which I believe, if I remember correctly, your rating is 4 out of 100.
Yeah, Dirty Dancing. Generous. I want to review that rating.
I'm actually mad at you that it's that high. Again. Oh, but we are not talking about a film that Paul dislikes today. However, we are talking about a film that Paul very, very much loves. And I know, like, of all the films I've ever heard you talk about, I've heard you probably between this and Shaun the Sheep, maybe. this is one of the films that I've heard you talk about most, just listening to your show, talking to you on social media, whatever. This is Train to Busan, which is a South Korean film from 2016. And tell us a little bit about this film, because like I said, I know that you adore this film.
Yeah, I think it has a particularly special place in my heart. I'm going to blow my own horn here for just a little bit, because I was one of the first people I knew to see it. And so I got to be one of the first people that championed it a bit, and very slowly over the next 6 or 12 months, that word spread, and I heard it mentioned in heaps of people's best films of the year, like 2017, because I think that's maybe when it got a wide sort of distribution through most of the world. But I managed to catch it at the end of 2016, and it completely blew me away. I'd heard the rumblings that it was the best zombie film since Shaun of the Dead, and one of the best zombie films ever made, and I always take that with a grain of salt. Once you've, if you're as big a horror film fan as I am, once you've heard, this is the next this is the greatest film since that, you can only do it so many times before it becomes sort of boy who cries wolf, and you just cannot get behind that kind of statement anymore. So I went in with very low expectations despite the buzz, and I was, as mentioned, blown away. So that's why it's so special to me, and we'll get into the details why I think it's so good as we go. But this is the Tenderhooks moment for me, Nick. As an overall, you're going to give an indication of whether you liked or disliked Train to Busan.
All right. Well, let's see.
Shut up!
Oh, no.
No, I'm kidding. I fucking loved this movie. That just a little bit of a moment where your heart was going to sink out of your chest and be like, oh, God,
it
no.
Did. Yep. It worked.
Oh, no.
Well played, sir.
Literally, I had the opposite like going into this, because as I said, you have talked about this film ever since I have known you. I have heard you talk about this film pretty much. I mean, obviously, since it came out anyway. Mm-hmm. So this is a film that I am very, very familiar with. And because of you, a lot of other people I know have also seen this film and have highly recommended it. So I went into it with very high expectations, and it's not often that I can go into a film with sky-high expectations and still be blown away, and I was here.
Nice.
This film, nice. I mean, I hesitate, and I hesitate because there are a couple of things that I am a little bit shaky on.
It's not
on.
Perfect.
It's not perfect, but it is as close to a masterwork in the zombie film genre as you will ever find. It's mind-blowing how good this is. Now, it uses the more kind of 28 days later rage type zombie kind of thing. Like, these zombies don't fuck around. Like, you get bitten, depending on if the plot needs you to stick around for a tearful goodbye or whatever. Anyway, you transform pretty much immediately. You know, it's very fast acting. The contortionism in this film is insane.
Glad you mentioned that.
Like, dude, it sells it so well. Like, just the masterful casting work to just find literally every person who can contort, twist, and distort their own body shape as they're transforming into these zombies. And when they transform into the zombies, this isn't a particularly gory film. There's definitely blood spatters, and it's a zombie film, so of course you've got them eating people, biting people and whatnot, but it's not like super gory or anything.
No one gets torn apart and there aren't limbs being ripped off and all that kind of stuff.
Like, we talked about Shaun of the Dead in another spotlight that we recorded today, and there's, of course, the iconic scene in that where David gets literally disemboweled, and it's great. I love that scene, and fuck David because he's a douchebag.
Which is in itself a reference back to George Romero's Day of the Dead. So. Yeah,
but there's nothing like that. This film is not like insanely gory like that. You know what? And we talked about, when we talked about Shaun of the Dead, we talked about character investment. And this film works as well as it does because it's so picture perfect in terms of what it does with character investment. You have your main character, and I'm going to fuck up every single one of these names. Gong Yoo.
Good luck.
Yeah. He's the main actor. He plays Seok Woo. I have no idea. I'm not even going to try to butcher these names because
the dad.
He's a workaholic. He's kind of an absentee father. His daughter's obviously been raised mostly by his mother ever since his split from his wife, who we never actually get a chance to, of course, see in the film. But they're very, very much alienated at the beginning of this film, and this film. And I say this tongue in cheek because this is a zombie film, but this film will, by its end, rip your heart out of your chest and reduce you to a sobbing puddle of a man, because that's what it did to me. It's fucking heartbreaking, and it destroys you by the end of it because you get so invested in these characters that anything that happens to them, you're literally like inching closer and inching closer and inching closer to the edge of your seat the entire time you're watching it. It's brilliant. I can't even say it other than that. It's legitimately brilliant.
I'm so glad you've hit on the on how emotional this film is, because it was for me as well.
And
that was
the final
selling point. And even on rewatch this week for this purpose, even on the rewatch, and I've seen this film now 4 times, and it's probably been about 9 or 10 months since I last watched it. The fourth time around was almost more emotional for me than the first time around, even knowing what was coming. Maybe because I knew what was coming. And I guess I watched it late at night, and there's a fair bit going on sort of for me personally, which might have impacted as well. But I'm like, for a zombie film to hit you like that, that's something special, to say nothing of the craft that goes into this film beyond just the characters, which are mostly, at least in terms of the main characters, brilliant. Not just the dad and his daughter. The daughter's fantastic, played by... we won't bother the names, but she's a fantastic little actor.
Fantastic.
And like, again, that's another horror trope or film trope. If you can get a good kid actor in who's not inherently annoying, i.e. like Newt in Aliens, that's half the battle. And this film does that as well. And then you get the great bad... I mean, the zombies are the bad guys, but you get, of course, the human antagonist. And it's a very gradual build-up to this guy who's suddenly about halfway through the film, this rich COO type dude who turns and then is all about just saving his own skin and literally, almost literally, throwing people under the train to do so.
There are a few characters in the history of cinema who you want to step in to the world of the film just to bury your foot into their ball sack because they're such deliciously evil bastards. Like, this kind of character kind of reminds me, and I know you're not the biggest Harry Potter person, Paul, but
no,
Dolores Umbridge in Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix is like such a hateable villain. Like, she is like, you love that film. Like, I love that film because she is so detestable as a character. Like, you literally want to wring her neck every time she comes on screen. That's how good this actor's performance is as this rich businessman, and how well executed it is in the film. I posted on Facebook as I was finishing watching this film, I was like, if a zombie doesn't rip his dick off and feed it to him, I quit movies forever. And that's not what happens in the film. That's not how he ends up
not quite
going out or anything like that. But I'm telling you, it is so, so, so good. Like, you it's a great thing in a movie like this when you can actively cheer for zombies to get somebody. Like, you've done your job. You have done your job as a writer. You've done your job as a director and as an actor. If you can literally cheer for zombies and be like, bite that motherfucker, eat him.
You're right. You're spot on right. He's great. And then I want to give another shout out to one other character as well. And that is the sort of tough working class guy, the big dude.
Yep.
He was like, he became my favorite character. And of course, he's meant to. And we're obviously talking around this without spoiling too much. His role in the film is just, it's perfect as well. And it was probably around the part where what happens to him happens to him, where I went, this film's great. This film is not just good. This film is great. It has the balls to do what it just did there. I am so on board, ha, no pun intended, for what happens from here.
Yep. And it's one of those things where, you know, the zombie virus acts as quickly as the plot allows it to, you know? So there are certain infections in the film where you're like, wouldn't they have turned by now?
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Where you run into those kinds of moments, right. But you don't really mind it. And it's one of those things that you could nitpick if you wanted to, but it's really, really easy to overlook it because of how great, how just amazingly investing the film is. The young baseball player and the cheerleader are almost caricatures at the beginning of the film. And you really, really come to love those two characters. And then they of course meet their fate in the film, which
in an emotional way as well,
broke my heart. And you know, the homeless guy, like the homeless guy is like it, perfect. I loved him. The old sisters, the elderly sisters, like there are so many just amazing characters in this film. And I mean, it's a zombie film, so you know you're going to just watch a lot of these people get picked off. But it's when you take a film, and I don't even speak the language that they're speaking in the film, it's subtitled, but it's a movie that transcends language. It's so well shot, and it's so well acted, and it's so well done that it is able to perfectly invest you in every single one of their stories, where you completely, like, you're there with them. Like, everything that happens, like, there's a moment when the homeless man, and I don't really want to spoil too much about this film, but I will this one moment, where he accidentally steps on a soda can and it makes a noise and attracts the zombies. And, like, I had a moment watching it where I was just like, oh, like, you know, it's kind of one of those movies where when you're watching it, you're like, you're so invested in it. You're just like, every moment that happens, you're like, oh, or like, no. Or like, you kind of have those moments. Don't do that in a movie theater, by the way, fucking assholes. That's not the point, though. But that's this kind of movie, though. That's this kind of movie where, like, every single little thing that happens, you're like, oh, shit, no, oh, fuck. Or, like, you know, the COO guy, you're like, please, for the love of God, somebody fucking stab him.
Yeah, exactly. And I think you touched on something there, which I think is really worth emphasizing. For a film which is 80% set on a train, it's shot phenomenally well.
Yep.
Like, the camera movements, the sense of, when you need to, the sense of claustrophobia, which it manages to convey, and then, but also sort of some of the fluid, sort of more action moments where the camera's zooming across the seats and the like, and clearly they sort of special effects or in the background giving the illusion of movement, and they've got one side of the train removed and the camera's out a little bit further. It's really, really well cut together, and it adds a couple little moments, and I think this is also really important for a horror fan like me. It differentiates itself from, apart from with all the stuff we've already spoken about, from its lesser brethren, shall I say, by adding in unique little elements like, for example, the zombies, when it goes dark, freeze. It's like, okay, that's a weird one. You wouldn't see that in many zombie films. It means that effectively when night falls, this whole threat's going to become far easier to deal with, but we're in the middle of the day here, so that's not helping them. But the train's going to go into tunnels, and that becomes this really great tense scene then, as they have to negotiate their way through and around a whole bunch of zombies.
Which is really, really great because, I mean, the film does lean a little bit too hard in playing on the stupidity of zombies, I'd say a couple of times, but for the most part, the scenes where they, you know, have to move through zombie-infested train cars, and they have to figure out different ways to distract them. I love that they kind of improvise different ways to distract them most of the times.
Mm-hmm.
and things. I agree with you completely about the way the train shot. Even though most of the film takes place on the train, you never kind of get tired of it as the setting of the film. Like, you're no. Like, there are definitely scenes that take place off of the train, which are also great, but you never kind of get bored with it. They find different ways to shoot it that always make it look great and that always kind of keep the train invested. And I think one of the great things about it is they make the train also feel like it's its own character. You know, there's just different little quirks that the train has, you know, the way that it's sliding doors open and close, things of that nature that are just amazing. And yeah, I agree completely with, you know, the zombies, just when the lights go out, like all of a sudden when they start to slowly figure this out, like, okay, we can do this, we can do this, we can try to get around them this way. It's perfect. And it adds those amounts of tension to the film where then it's, you know, you've got them in close confines with the zombies and you're just like, oh Jesus God, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God. And then you're like, please don't notice them. Please don't notice them. Oh, please, whatever you're going to do, do it. You know, great. Just the amount of suspense is just mind-blowing how well they're able to dial up the tension in this movie.
100% agree. And then there's those moments where it's a little bit like World War Z. The zombies are so single-minded and just going to run straight at their prey that doesn't matter if the other zombies get in the way or whatever, they'll literally run over the top of them. So we get a couple of walls of zombie moments, which, yeah, okay, it's clearly CG. There's no practical way to do something like that. There's just not. And they don't have the budget of a Avengers Endgame to make it look as sweet as possible. But it's still really effective and kind of a horrifying moment, which, again, ramps up that tension.
Yeah, it looks... I mean, even if the effects aren't great, you don't care. You legitimately, you're so invested in this, and they do well enough. Like, it's not like they're bad, distracting or anything. It's not like you watch them
not Hellboy.
Yeah. No, God. To where it pulls you out of the film. It's the effects are never that bad. And what they're able to do is, you know, they're able to do certain scenes. Like, there's one scene, you have to see it to believe it, kind of, because even I didn't believe it when I was watching it, but there's zombies getting dragged by a train, we'll say. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I'm just watching it. I'm like, I'm watching it and I'm just like, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen. Like, just my mouth is hanging open. My eyes are as wide as they could be in my head. And I'm just like, so spellbound by what I'm seeing. The zombies are ferocious. The zombies are scary. And yeah, they have that speed and they have that kind of viciousness to them where, yeah, they do the zombie wall thing. But you know what the thing is? That's different from World War Z is that it's never kind of cartoonish or anything. Like, there's moments in World War Z where there's just like whole huge CGI set pieces of just CGI bodies just building into mountains and stuff where it's just kind of, it gets silly. You know what I mean?
Yep. Yep.
And they don't do that in this film. They never do. They only do that in this film in so much as a bunch of the zombies will just kind of be all, because they're all charging at a target, they'll all just kind of stumble over each other and it becomes this tidal wave of zombies that just kind of crashes to the ground and then they pick up and they start running again, you know?
It's amazing. I'm so glad you enjoyed it. You were leaving it to last in our little series of recordings tonight, and I was, or today, and I was very much like, oh shit, Nick's going to hate it. We're going to go out on a sour note, but this is fantastic.
I've
not been so pleased in a long time.
Okay, so a couple things I wanted to mention about this film. Number one, I'm thrilled that they're making a sequel to this.
Yeah, I was going to ask if you knew that, and apparently the same director's back. That was as of August 13th last year. He was working on it. And if you heard, now this one I treat with far more caution. James Wan will be producing
an American remake.
An American remake, according to Deadline.
I mean,
and Gary Darberman, I think, who's responsible for writing It, but as well, and The Nun.
So, yeah, The Nun. And that's why I was kind of like, when I saw that he wrote The Nun, I was just like, no, I don't know if that's a good thing.
Well, we'll get another sense of which one was more him, because he's directing, his debut direction is Annabelle Comes Home, the new Annabelle film, which is coming very shortly.
Yeah, so we'll see. This is one of those movies where it's like, I don't need you to
I don't need it at all, but I will still see the shit out of it because I just want to be able to sit and compare and go like, all right, did they improve anything or is it just an absolute clusterfuck?
Yeah. I mean, it could be like the Let the Right One In, the vampire film from, yeah, was it Norwegian, I think? Yeah.
Is it Norwegian or Swedish?
One of the two. One of those big dong-shaped countries on the top of Europe. It's one of those two, but you know, the American
shout out
remake.
To all your Norwegian and Scandinavian listeners.
We love you. We love you. Keep tuning in. We make more dick jokes than anybody, so of course we're going to make that joke. But
it's true.
You know, it's the American remake. I've never seen it, but I'm told good things about it. I'm told that it's not quite there, but it's still really good on its own right. And I guess that's maybe thinking of Train to Busan fine. Remake.
Matt Reeves directed, it's called Let Me In from memory. It's not as good, but it's not outside the ballpark.
I just want it to be good. Just make it good, please. That's all I care about. But
don't worry, a shitty job.
It can't toe too hard into CGI and worrying about everything. This is very, very centralized on the idea. I mean, it's a film called Train to Busan, and that's very, very literally what it is. They're on a train going to Busan. What the remake has to do is it has to cast the right dad and it has to cast the right daughter.
Yes, as we said, the daughter in particular would be hard.
To really, it has to sell the emotionality of this film, because the best thing about this film is by far the emotional weight of it. And like I said, we won't spoil exactly how this film ends, but you get to the end of this film and I never thought this film is not breaking any barriers in terms of its plot progression. We'll say that it's got a unique setting and it's got a great, you know, take on zombies. It's got great characters, but it's not rewriting the horror mold in terms of the zombie film. It's very, very kind of the zombie film archetype. It follows the same exact plot beats that you expect it to. But that doesn't take away any of the impact that it has at the end of the film. And I never expected watching this film, like just watch it. It legitimately rips your goddamn soul out at the end. It's just like soul crushing. I'm just like, I'm watching it and I'm like, Paul, fuck you, you son of a bitch.
And if you have that reaction, my work here is done.
There you go. It's so emotionally affecting. It's so good. And I can't say enough how impressed I was by it. I'm going to put a rating on it first. I'm just going to put a 9 out of 10 on it. Simple as that. This film easily, and people will tell you, and you may not believe them. And I don't know if I believed it when, because Paul likes some weird shit. And sometimes when he recommends things to me, I'm like, Paul, fuck you. You're out of your mind. But like this one, when he recommended this film and then so many other people saw it and they also recommended it, I went into it. I was like, there's no way this movie is going to be as good as people are saying it is. It's better. Whatever they're saying about it, it's better. And it will blow you the fuck away. And if you don't walk out of this film or walk away from this film or whatever, legitimately wanting to stab that motherfucking businessman in the face 5,000 times, I don't, movies don't work on you then. Movies don't work on you. Yep. Paul, what would you rate this film?
Yeah, I hate to be a person who just doesn't agrees for the sake of it, but I'd spot on 9 out of 10.
How
it could
you
be a 10 out of 10 for me one day. It could, but I probably have to watch it a couple more times and see if it holds up just as well as it has 4 times in.
Oh my God, I love this. This was a treat. Thank you for the this one and Hard Boiled especially were just like mind blowing.
I think we did pretty well out of the 4. The worst rating you gave, 7 out of 10. That's not a bad bad night's work.
Yeah, that's definitely not a bad night's. See this movie. If you've never seen this movie, even if you're not a fan of zombie movies, and my wife, she watched the trailer and she wouldn't watch it. Like, she does not do well with especially kind of weird, sick, contortion-y stuff. And when I, like, she can't do, like, The Exorcist because of, like, the weird contortion stuff and whatever. And, yeah, this film's got it in spades. If that kind of thing is not your cup of tea, try anyway. The characters are so emotionally investing. The zombies are great, and I don't want to take anything away from the zombie and the horror aspects of the film, which I thought were amazing. I always love it when horror films don't just endlessly rely on the same tired horror tropes, and this doesn't in most regards. There's only one jump scare that at least that registered for me that made me actually like, oh, and it's at the extreme end of the film when all of a sudden something moves and makes a noise and you don't expect it to. But
oh yeah, okay, yep, I was
yeah, you know what I'm talking about. It's up, but the characters are so emotionally investing. It's an amazingly emotional film for a zombie film, and you wouldn't think it would be, but here we are.
Oh, it's been awesome, Nick. Thank you so much, and I'm really, really pleased you enjoyed this film in particular, but most of the other ones as well.
This film was a treat. Thank you. Like I said, thank you. This was a really, really good set of spotlights, and I really expected at least one of these films to walk out of it and be like, fuck you, Paul.
I'm sure I'll give you a reason to say that tomorrow.
I'm more than certain you will. Please, as if they don't already know, please tell our audience where they can find the Countdown movie and TV reviews.
Well, you can find us at via Google at The Countdown, or search for The Countdown movie and TV reviews on Twitter at The Countdown PC. But really, what you should be doing right now is donating to whether or not this screens during live stream for a cure or soon thereafter. If you get a chance, support the Epic Film Guys and their wonderful cause. Give them all your attention, all your extra little money you may have lying around, because it's so important that we continue to try to fuck cancer as badly as it continues to fuck us.
Yeah, and very, very well said. And I really, really do appreciate you not only recommending these films, but also recording these spotlights. Paul, like I said, was a huge part of the first two live stream for the cure events and running a half marathon in Sydney the same day. So unfortunately, he will be clear on the other side of Australia during this year's event. But I really, really, really do appreciate you taking some time to record these spotlights that we can air as part of the event. And good luck with your race, my friend. I don't think I said that in any of the other three.
No, but thank you. And thanks again for having me on. It's been a pleasure. And next year I'll be back bigger. And you know, if there is a live stream for Cure 4, I'll make sure there's no traveling at that point.
Man, this one's going to kill me. Shit, so no, there's not going to be a 4.
Yeah, don't do it the first 2 weeks of May, because I'm getting married then. So maybe after that.
First 2 weeks of May. Ladies and gentlemen, you can also find us, of course, at epicfilmguys.com. Check out all of the information about the live stream for the cure at livestreamforthecure.com. And of course, again, May 17th through the 19th, 40 hours to raise $7,500 for the Cancer Research Institute. It's going to be a blast. And hopefully, if you're listening to this as part of that, we love you. Please, please, please hit that donate button and help us reach that goal for a future immune to all forms of cancer. That's what we're aiming for. So for myself, for Paul, thank you so, so much out there, everybody, for listening. And until next time, we will see you at the movies.